Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyon-Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
Fred, what a show we have today because... Wow. You know about all the soft tissue they've been finding in the dinosaurs?
Yeah. We've been talking about it quite a bit on this show. All kinds of different soft tissue and various kinds of dinosaurs. But we have something even more interesting today, more groundbreaking, right?
This is amazing. They found a mosasaur fossil. You know what a mosasaur is?
Is that like an Elijahsaur or a pharaohsaur?
No.
It's not a mosasaur?
It's a marine reptile.
Mosa, M-O-S-A.
From the dinosaur era, about 70 million years ago. And Fred, this thing breaks new ground because the scientists who have published this, they have specifically looked to break through a barrier and say, we are not looking at contamination. This is original biological material from 70 million years ago, and this is in a refereed scientific journal. And to help us think through this and talk through it, I'd like to welcome to the show a longtime friend of Bob Enyart Lives, Dave Willis. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Great to be on your show today.
Howdy, and you're on also with my co-host, Fred Williams. Dave, you have been studying creation, evolution. You're not a scientist, but you've been studying this topic, I'd say seriously, for about 20 years now, from what I know of you. So let's talk through this mosasaur. We'll try to put it in perspective first. Let's list again the soft tissue that's been found and been published so far, the big stories. There have been a lot of stories, but the big stories, what are they and how long ago did those creatures supposedly live?
Well, this has been a recurring theme on our show, Bob. Of course, we've talked a lot about the T-Rex that's 65 million years old, allegedly. The hadrosaur that came in at a ringing 85 million years, and we found soft tissue there.
Now, the hadrosaur, that's a duck-billed dinosaur. And so we're talking in the dinosaur era. These are from the Mesozoic era, which supposedly, now these ages are not real, as all the soft tissue and carbon-14 and amino acid left-handedness, all that shows us. But they say that those things were back in the Cretaceous period during the Mesozoic era. So that's a long time ago, supposedly, and they got soft tissue. What else have they found biological material in?
Well, remember we talked about the squid on several occasions. This thing came in at supposedly 150 million years old.
150, and that's older than Cretaceous. That's Jurassic.
And they were able to take the biological material and reproduce ink.
Ink.
From squids.
Yeah, and then there's the famous Archaeopteryx.
Yeah, they're darling of evolution for probably the last century, and that came in at a ringing 150 million years old.
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
And they found soft tissue in that, and all different kinds of tissue, from the feathers and bones. And so this is a brand new area of science, and now there's a big discovery with the mosasaur. So, Dave Willis, can you help us think through... Why is this important? It was published in a referee journal called the Public Library of Science Journal.
Well, it's certainly not a creationist journal. It's what would be recognized by most evolutionists, most naturalists, as a reliable source,
right.
An objective scientific source.
Yeah.
What caught my eye was that they were trying to defend evolution, but they were providing all kinds of really great info that would support creation and defeat evolution.
I think that is true. Over the past few years, about the last 6 years, when the T-Rex article was first published in Science in 2005 by Dr. Mary Schweitzer, there were scientists who they said, look, this is not possible. You can't have proteins. You can't have blood vessels or blood cells as appear evident in the photographs. You can't have that stuff last for tens of millions of years in sandstone in Montana. You can't. So it must be a contamination. There must be bacteria that's forming proteins. It must be biofilm. And where were those objections published, Dave?
Well, in the same publication where we're reading about the mosasaur today.
That's right. That's big. Because they were saying, from their worldview, you can't have soft tissue in dinosaur fossils. From the creationist worldview, the biblical creation view, that God created the Earth less than 10,000 years ago, then the dinosaurs lived only thousands of years ago. And so while you wouldn't expect to find a lot of soft tissue, it's within the realm of plausibility that you would find some soft tissue in fossils.
Sometimes I think creationists have made the mistake of suggesting that when they dug into the rock, they reached their hand in there and felt squishy stuff. Well, not what we're talking about.
No.
The bone is hard. It looks like a stone in the shape of a bone, but once they get it in the lab, they can demineralize it using weak acid over a few days, and then they get the squishy stuff actual structure.
They remove the minerals to see what's left. It's not as though when they demineralize it, they're turning stone back into proteins. We don't do that. We're not God. We don't do that. But they're removing the minerals so they can look and see what's in there. That's how they're finding biological material. In this article, their goal was, when they found this fossil, their goal was to look and see if it had soft tissue. It did. And then they wanted to disprove the claim that this is from bacteria or this is some kind of a modern contaminant.
And that's been the excuse that evolutionists have used over the years, because I've debated this many times, and they said, oh, this is just protein or collagen from a different bacteria that's contaminated the fossil.
That is recent.
Exactly.
Actually, one good point about that, I've talked to a scientist in this area that promotes the evolutionary view. The protein of bacteria is not collagen, it's collagen-like.
Mm.
And so this article was to distinguish between what is animal protein, animal collagen, versus collagen-like proteins from mm-hmm. bacteria.
Yeah, they specifically designed tests and ways to analyze this biological material to eliminate the possibility that it is from bacteria or other types of contamination. And
one thing they did was they scrubbed and abraded the outside of the bone to get past all the surface area to mm-hmm. where they could then just study the inner part of the bone. They cleaned it very carefully to get rid of anything that could be from a recent contaminant like bacteria.
Right, and they did the same process on control specimens to make sure that their cleaning process wasn't introducing amino acids and bacteria. And so this was a very carefully done, well-funded research project. It was funded by the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences, and the authors, there are many authors of the study, and they include scientists from Lund University in Sweden and SMU in Texas and other universities. So the studies they did were designed to show that this, in fact, is actual original soft tissue biomolecules from a mosasaur, which they wrongly believe, lived 70 million years ago. And what's their conclusion? All these scientists doing this research, Dave Willis, and you have interacted. One reason I asked you to be on the show with us today is because for some years now, you have been interacting with some of the key scientists in this field. And I appreciate that about you. You go right to the source. And so what is their conclusion? All these authors, and this is now published in this refereed scientific journal, what is their conclusion? Is this contamination?
Well, they were basically testing the idea if it could be, and they ruled that out. They studied with a spectrum analysis of infrared, and they were able to rule it out being mm-hmm. bacterial. They also found structures, just like the bone cell called an osteocyte. That's a protein cell that you don't find in bacteria. Bacteria don't have bones, so they don't grow osteocytes.
Hmm. So this is compelling evidence that this is the collagen of the mosasaur, is what I'm hearing.
That's right, and they found structures like blood vessels. And what appears to me certainly to be a blood cell inside a blood vessel, just like many have seen in some of the photographs of the T-Rex.
Right, from Dr. Mary Schweitzer. And by the way, she's with, what, North Carolina State University, is that right?
Yes, also I think associated with a university in Montana also.
And I remember, that's right, Montana State University, and Jack Horner, sort of a friend of Bob and Your Live, when we talked to Jack Horner, and we offered him a lot of money. I think eventually we upped it to $23,000, a grant in writing, if he would carbon 14 date that T-Rex with Mary Schweitzer. So finally, he said, all right, I'll ask Mary if she wants to do that. Well, then it turns out they did not want to do it. But with this mosasaur, Dave, eventually they went ahead and they carbon 14 dated this mosasaur.
Yeah, the argument that was being made about the T-Rex was we can't do a carbon 14 date on this because the demineralizing fluid we use has carbon in it, and it's modern carbon, and so we will contaminate it and ruin the C-14 date. Well, that sounded reasonable to me, and I thought, well, then just cut the sample in half and demineralize one part and don't demineralize the other part, and you can get a carbon 14 date on it that way.
That
it's
way.
Not contaminated.
And, right, exactly. And so this does show, Jack Horner is a world-renowned paleontologist. He was on the set of all three Jurassic Park movies as their consultant, their science consultant. And so, Fred, I'm a pastor of a Bible church, and here I am telling him, of course you can carbon 14 that T-Rex. Just try it. And he has, oh, no, we can't do it because, you know, you can't do it. So now it turns out a few years later, you sure could do it, and they have done it. And the results are difficult for them to bear, Dave Willis, because they have conflicting desires when they study this thing. Their gut, in their bones, they know that the biological material is original. They know it's original.
And it's not contaminated.
It's not contaminated.
They want to make the point that the proteins they found weren't contaminated bacteria.
Right.
But
when they carbon 14 date it, there should be none. It should be infinity. All the carbon 14 should be gone.
Should have long turned into nitrogen. But they found carbon 14, and what date did it give? What was the?
They gave a very, very, very young date.
24,600 years with just a very small margin of error. And I might point this out. That's not a little bit. That's a lot of carbon 14.
That's a lot of carbon 14 as compared to modern carbon. And they would expect, because carbon-14 has a very short half-life of, what, about 5,700 years or so. And so if you have carbon-14 in a living animal that's absorbed it from the atmosphere, once it dies, it no longer absorbs carbon-14, especially when it's buried. And so then the carbon-14 decays. The normal carbon does not. And so the scientists study the ratio, and carbon-14 only lasts thousands of years, as in tens of thousands of years at the most. It doesn't last hundreds of thousands or millions of years. Most public school students completely misunderstand carbon-14, which is a relatively simple concept.
And that's
right.
Why they did the carbon-14 test. I mean, they weren't trying to find out if it was a young mosasaur. They were trying to find out if any of the protein they found, the collagen or collagen-like substance, was from bacteria, and if it was, then it would show
carbon 14. It'd be recent,
right? And if it wasn't, they could say, "Look, here we did a carbon 14 date, and we got no carbon 14. So
right,
we've ruled it out of being bacteria." Well, on the way to that desired result, they stumbled on to finding a whole lot of carbon-14 in
that sample. And so with their evolutionary blinders, they thought they'd have no carbon-14 because it's 70 million years old. Lo and behold, with our creationist glasses on, we could see clearly that this dinosaur didn't live 70 million years ago. So, of course, you're going to find carbon-14 just like you find it in everything else that has carbon that's not supposed to have a carbon 14.
Well, you know, the irony I love in this article, and this is just a week old, Bob. This article was published April 29th, 2011. And I love it that they say this carbon 14 is most likely due to bacterial activity near the outer surface.
Right.
Do you see the irony there?
Yeah.
They ground away the outer surface.
So they even admit, they say, although no bacterial proteins were found.
And no DNA of any bacteria was found, or at least they said they found a tiny bit of it.
Right, virtually none, and not enough to account for this 4% carbon-14 compared to normal carbon.
Right. That's very powerful right there, Bob, because... If they are going to try to say that the amount of carbon-14 they found came from bacteria, where's the DNA of
right.
that bacteria?
Right.
Well, and one point, maybe you've made this point before for your listeners today, is this doesn't necessarily mean that any of us think that the Mosasaur is 24,600 years old. There are reasons why it might still only be 10,000 or maybe 6,000 years
right.
old.
Right. When the... Old Earth atheist and evolutionist, when they date things by radiometric dating, and they say, look, this date proves that this diamond is 1.2 billion years old, and then we find carbon-14 in the diamond, which only lasts thousands of years. So what we say to them is your assumptions of how old things will be based on radiometric dating, your assumptions are wrong. And the fact that carbon-14 is still in there proves your assumptions are wrong. These things are recent. So their assumptions of why they would say it's 24,000 years old and this diamond is 1.2 billion, those assumptions are all wrong. And it's the creationists who are pressing forward to truly understanding the radiometric dates.
Yeah. In a sense, this 24,000 is like a limit. We're not saying it's that old, but we
right.
know that it can't be older than that. So it's going to be anywhere from 0 to 24,000 years old. We know from the Bible it's probably anywhere from probably 1,000 to, 5,000 years old.
Right, exactly.
Dave, do they believe that the dinosaur is young? What's their point in all this?
Their point is that it's old and somehow or other its protein was successful in being preserved for 65 million years or 70 million years.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say it provides sufficient evidence for the survival of all these macromolecules over deep time.
Could I respectfully sum up their conclusion in one word?
Sure.
Golly! That's what they're saying. They're saying, look, guys, not only do you get soft tissue in dinosaurs like a T-Rex and a Hadrosaur, that's buried in sandstone, but now you get it of a marine reptile buried in marine sediments, and this is not a huge bone like a femur of a T-Rex. This is a little old bone.
Yeah, and one other new point about this, you mentioned that, and I'm glad you did, because the size of the bone was something new. They had assumed that there was something special about how bones can protect those molecules. And even maybe we're guessing that maybe it had something to do with the surrounding environment. Well, in this case,
different environment
in a land environment in sandstone. This was a marine or sea creature in marine sediment.
And we have the Archaeopteryx, which is a feathered creature, and we have the squid, which lives in the sea. So it's not the environment, it's not the special way they were buried.
Well, speaking of environment, Dave, you emailed us something I thought was great. It's from a scientific journal in 2008, and it did a study on how long collagen can last.
Collagen is the protein in bones that give them their elasticity.
Yeah, we talked about it on a prior show. You take vinegar and you put a chicken bone in there and wait a day, and the thing's flexible. You can twist it and tie it into knots. What happened was it removed the calcium,
right.
left the collagen, which it provides the elasticity.
Right.
And it's an amazing compound. It's
and
amazing
so what did
design.
this referee, this article?
It was in Science Magazine in 2008. It was written in response to Mary Schweitzer's article the previous year about the soft dinosaur tissue. I believe it might have been the Hadrosaur.
This article, Fred, you got the chart right there. And what is it showing? And this is based on an analysis of the physics of these protein molecules.
It's showing how long collagen can last over time. And so if you look at the chart here and you go up from like 20 degrees Celsius, roughly about 70 degrees Fahrenheit, right, which is about the temperature at Hell Creek, which is in Montana where they found these bones.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the graph, I'm looking at it right now, and you come over here, it gives an age of 10,000 years, as long as that stuff could last.
Maximum.
Before it degrades.
And it would degrade. It would no longer be biological molecules.
It'd be dirt.
And if it were freezing, then it might last 100,000 years, maybe, if it was freezing. But we know that the temperature in Montana oscillates between very hot, 100 degrees plus, to below freezing and even below zero. And that kind of temperature change itself is murder on complex molecules that break apart because of the random movement of atoms and molecules.
And even this chart is overly generous to the evolutionists, because it's dating it with carbon-14 dating of supposedly known samples, and those are usually exaggerated in age, too. So
right, exactly.
Even though this chart says 20 degrees centigrade will last about 10 to 12,000 years at a maximum, that could be a whole lot less than that, because mm-hmm. the carbon-14 dating assumptions are built into this chart.
Right. It could be that the maximum is 8,000 years or so. Mm-hmm. So, Dave, when we look at the world that God created and the Bible telling us approximately when God created, which is less than 10,000 years ago, about 6,000 years ago, we as Christians, we don't shy away from science. We love science, because over and over in every area, every way you look at it, we're finding evidence that the atheistic, materialistic worldview is wrong, that these dinosaurs lived 70 million years ago. Could you describe for us, Dave, the amino acids that we find in living creatures? Well, first, Fred, what's with the amino acids that make up proteins? And then, Dave, how could that be used to help date these fossils?
Well, proteins are a link of amino acids, and I think the average protein size, there's a debate on it, it's roughly 1,500 amino acids that are linked together. Well, these amino acids are in a specific configuration. They're either left-handed or right-handed. But in life, in living animals, they're always left-handed. They're in a left-handed configuration.
So in other words, when you find acids out, not in a living organism, but just out there in the earth somewhere, half are left-handed, half are right-handed. Now, that refers to their molecular makeup. If they were symmetrical, then we wouldn't say they were left-handed or right-handed. But amino acids are not symmetrical. So either they're sort of off balance in one direction or the other. So life is made up of only left-handed amino acids.
Until you die. And then it starts to degrade to the point where the protein breaks down into its amino acids, and then the amino acids degrade to where they return to a 50-50 concentration of right-handed and left-handed molecules.
That and process is called racemization. And so they're going from only left-handed amino acids to where, like you just said, the proteins break down, and then they begin to decompose, and eventually they're going to be 50-50 again, just like you find outside of living organisms.
Remember when the scientists said that they were able to create life, the Miller-Urey experiment?
Oh, yeah.
And what did they get? They did produce some amino acids.
And they got right and left-handed amino acids.
They got about an equal amount, 50-50, of right and left-handed amino acids.
Right, and that doesn't work for life.
It doesn't work at all.
No.
So you basically got a sort of a clock. Like a lot of other biological or geological clocks out there, you can estimate how long has it been since this creature died by how much left-handedness is left. And the only thing that affects that they know of
temperature.
Is temperature.
Temperature
so
would affect
the temperature or a range of temperature. You can use that as a certainty and then decide how long will that take for the amino acids to racemize.
In fact, that argument is backfiring on some evolutionists, because they use that. They wanted to use that against Mary Schweitzer to say, hey, just look at her specimens. they're going to be left-handed, which will prove that this is a modern contaminant.
Bob, did you know that they have found dinosaur egg shells, and they have studied those amino acids of the eggshells? Now, they haven't found soft tissue inside a dinosaur egg yet.
All right, give them time.
But they've analyzed the amino acids, and they are not 50-50.
Oh, wow. And so this is a real problem for the evolutionists. I'm recollecting that there were evolutionists who brought this, the left-handedness of amino acids, and they wanted to use that against Mary Schweitzer and to prove that what she was looking at was contamination. But now the science is coming in from around the world that this is not contamination. This is original dinosaur material and extinct reptilian material. And so therefore, when we find left-handed amino acids, and it's not 50-50, it's not been racemized, that's going to be further proof that these are young and not millions of years old.
That's right. And these evolutionary scientists didn't realize they were going to be helping creationists to defeat the long ancient Earth age theory.
Yeah. Yeah. They unwillingly do that a lot.
Yeah.
Dave, do you remember the, did you see the Discover magazine article on this? I can't remember what year. I think 2007. They called Mary Schweitzer's finding a dangerous discovery. That was the name of the, that was the headline title.
A dangerous discovery.
And then
the
subtitle was, she erased a line between the past and the present. I mean, that's Discover magazine. That's no friend of creationists.
No, right. Could you imagine finding a moon around Uranus, another moon, and saying a dangerous discovery? I mean, every discovery in science, it's just a discovery. But they view it as horrendous because it's a threat to their worldview that these things are millions of years old. The evidence is overwhelming that the world was created and we were created the way the Bible says we were created in God's image, and the world was specially created with each kind of animal created by God in the recent past. And you read that right out of the book of Genesis. And Jesus Christ quotes the book of Genesis not as myth or fairy tale or a parable. He quotes it as history as revealed by God to Moses.
Well, you know, evolutionists, they themselves are evangelists. They use dinosaurs to evangelize our kids. Mm. You know, I gave a talk to kids at Cornerstone Christian Academy this week, and there was 15 kids in the classroom, and I showed them these pictures of these T-Rex unfossilized bones with the blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them how many in this classroom had seen this evidence before of these unfossilized bones. And out of the 15 kids, now one of them was my son, so he doesn't
can't
really count.
So
let's say out of 14,
yeah.
12 kids raised their hands that they'd never even heard of this evidence before.
And this is the discovery of the century
It really is.
Soft tissue from a T-Rex.
One hot headline I saw was a dinosaur shocker. and you know, this Mary Schweitzer has been interviewed on a lot of the TV programs, and she still is just flabbergasted as she talks about what she observed with the T-Rex.
And she's a Christian, but like many Christians, she's old Earth. And so, Lord willing, that's going to change for her by the evidence.
They just are so convinced of the long age that they've decided, well, we're going to discover some secret that we don't
understand.
Some
secret,
now
yeah.
Hey, how long protein can last.
Thank you, Dave Willis. Thanks for joining us.
Great having you, Dave.
All right, we lost Dave. And Fred, thank you very much for another fun show, Real Science Friday at KGov.com. God bless you guys.
Is there evidence that God exists? In Bob Enyart's video seminar, Does God Exist?, Bob presents the evidence that God does exist and the evidence that teaches us about God's character. The 2-DVD video set, Does God Exist?, is now available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART and at kgovstore.com. Again, that's kgovstore.com.